Today is the 2nd of February 2021. Today is Tuesday class, so we will, as usual, continue from where we stopped. We are at page 110. We are following this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Teachings from the Adapted Verses of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. Prepare yourself to develop this half an hour of silent awareness based meditation. This training is very important, so you must over the entire day, you must do this type of meditation for at least, if possible, half an hour to 45 minutes a day. We call it the awareness-based meditation, is to stabilize your awareness. So if your daily religious routine has this incorporated, then it's good. Normally what I did in the early days of training is, before I sleep, I will do the meditation. Then I will prepare my mind, meditate. Of course, it will include all the whatever chanting that I need to do. Then I will share merit, transfer merit. Then after that, I will rest. So while I rest, I can also continue to be mindful, to be aware. So everything is done with sati, awareness or mindfulness. So normally, after you have the meditation, you can sleep very well. Your mind is already composed, calm, mindful, aware. So very easy to sleep. Then when you wake up, the moment you wake up, the first thing is to be aware of your posture and aware how you move, how you turn, how you arise. Then after that, you need to answer nature's call or go to the washroom to clean up or whatever you can do. Go and do it mindfully. Then after that, you prepare yourself for meditation again. Then after that, you can start your day. So this routine is really good. So at least you do it twice a day before you sleep when you wake up. Then in between, whenever you have the free time, you should spend some time calming your mind down, silent your mind, develop the ability to be aware, and develop the meditation. If you are working, you can do it during lunchtime. Then if you are more diligent, you can go to office earlier. Then before the office hours start, you can have your own quiet moments of meditation too. That was what I did in the early days. And towards the end of the day, after office hour, sometimes I will stay back and do some form of meditation too before I leave my office. Then the moment I reach home, I pay respect Triple Gem. The moment I wake up, I also pay respect Triple Gem. Then before I leave the house, I also pay respect Triple Gem. When I come back, I pay respect Triple Gem. And I maintain daily mindfulness cultivation. This is how the daily religious routine should be maintained. And in between, whenever I have the free time, especially weekends or holiday, I will listen to Dhamma. Then I will reflect and contemplate on the teaching. Then I used to have cassette and CD, Dhamma cassette and Dhamma CD in my car. So whenever I drive, I travel, I will listen. Then I drive to office, drive back from office, or sometimes I go to site. Sometimes it can be 40 minutes drive or 30 minutes drive, or if I travel back to Alaska, it will be about 8-hour drive. So you can listen. Then whatever free time you have, you can listen. Then with the feedback from quite a number of kilometers, including Alicia, the recorder that Sui An has made is very good. So later on, if everybody can have one, you should make it a point to carry it along, very convenient. Then you don't need Wi-Fi, you can just listen at your own sweet time and pace. So all these are very useful, wholesome. So we should rejoice and thank all those who have made this possible, especially Brother Sui An and the group of people, Kanyamitas, that help to make all this available. Also, our Kanyamita Fund, who sponsored some of the sets. Okay, with that, maybe you can start your meditation. I will on the alarm, set the alarm now. So awareness-based meditation, remember the first three support. Relax the way, then maintain awareness for as long as you can. Trust only you need to do when you are quite good and quite advanced. Otherwise, don't worry, just let it be first. So the first three support, relax the way, maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then the mind will stabilize, your meditation will take off. You will start to understand many things. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain your inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness for as long as you can. These are the mind states we have trained, and you need to use them to live your daily life and to develop the meditation in daily life, means the daily mindfulness, stabilize it. Whatever you do, maintain awareness, like what is described under the Kaya Anupassana of the Satipatthana Sutta. After you train your mind to develop mindfulness of the in and out breath or Anapanasati, or to be aware, mindful, then you move on to the mindfulness of the four posture. After that, the third category of cultivation is mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment. Whatever you do, connecting the four posture to stabilize your daily mindfulness, leading to heedfulness. When your mindfulness stabilizes, you can use it to meditate, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, to cultivate first, second, turning wisdom, to develop the understanding of the teaching. So this is how the cultivation is to develop. The subheading is, as great medicine kings, they discern the form of diseases, known well the properties of the medicine. Know well the properties of medicine and dispense it according to the disease. So this heading is just a figurative type of description. It's trying to use the medical term to actually introduce the Buddha or all these great beings. The great beings are like great medicine king. They can discern all form of disease. Then know well the properties of medicine and dispense them accordingly to the appropriate disease. Ignorance and afflictions are illnesses of the mind. This is very true. Ignorance is the major culprit, avijja in Pali. Avijja is ignorant. Ignorant of what? Ignorant of the truth that governs life and existence. ignorance of all the great law that governs life and existence, the nature's law. So all these are very important truth. As far as the Buddha's teaching is concerned, he is more interested in spiritual truth, the spiritual laws, like the law of karma, the law of mind, the law of truth. They are in Pali called karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. So these are the three spiritual laws, whereas the other two are scientific law. The Buddha called it uttu niyama and bijja niyama. Uttu niyama are the nature's physical law of nature. All physical things follow these laws. Then bijja niyama are biological laws of all this of nature. So the scientists are very extraordinary and good in discerning the first two scientific laws of uttu niyama and bijja niyama. That's the reason why they develop a lot of understanding and they progress very, very fast. So our human civilization has benefited from the scientific finding. So all this benefited humanity, yeah, and gave us a lot of technical understanding, scientific understanding. But when it comes to the mind, when it comes to human behavior, mental things, it involves karma, it involves how our mind functions, then it also involves other nature's truth regarding mind. That's why we need to understand the three important spiritual laws of nature. Karma niyama, citta niyama, citta is mind, yeah? Law of mind, how all mind function following the law of dependent origination or paticca-samuppada dwelling. And finally is dhamma niyama. Dhamma is truth, dhamma is the teachings of the Buddha. So all these are the three important spiritual law. So ignorant here means ignorant of this nature's truth. And afflictions are suffering, misery, mental suffering, mental misery. Because we have a physical body and a consciousness trapped within. That's how karma can take its role and function. So all living beings, when they are born into this existential world, they have a mind, they have a body. So this body and mind, form and mind, is a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for us to arise within the existential world. And this one goes the way of nature. It has its universal characteristics of impermanent, lead to suffering when you attach and cling. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. You know, it is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomenon. So you cannot hold on to it, cling on to it, grasp on to it and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. So the anatta concept comes from this understanding. Anatta means non-self, not no self, non-self. So non-self is a very deep and profound understanding or a concept that the Buddha introduced for living beings to develop the understanding of his teaching. So anatta nature is very profound. It is not self, but it is non-self, means it is not nothingness. There is something, but this something is not a permanent unchanging entity that we can call me and I or the self, where we can cling onto, hold onto, grab onto, and believe that this is me, this is I. Therefore, I can own thing, I can have thing. So all these are delusion. The Buddha called it self-delusion, sakkaya ditti, because we fail to have the wisdom to penetrate this truth, to understand this truth. So to develop the understanding, we need to meditate. We need to train our mind. We need to develop the mindfulness, the stability of it, to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the three universal characteristics. That's why the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta, they are very important. Anicchang means impermanence. So here the universal characteristics of impermanence arise because we live in a conditioned world where everything that arises are supported by condition. Without condition, nothing arises. That's why we live in a conditioned world of phenomena. Dependent on condition, phenomena arise. When condition continue to support its existence, sustaining of it will help the phenomena to continue, but it will evolve, it will move. Then when condition cease to be, the phenomena cease to be. This is what we call the law of dependent origination, dependent on certain condition, things arise. Dependent on certain sustaining condition, things continue to evolve and flow and sustain itself. That's why we have the four-phase cycle of birth, the arising phase, then the growth phase, then the decay phase, and the cessation phase. We can see them in almost every phenomenon, even the plants, same, the human form, same, human being. And whatever we observe in nature, they go through the phase of arising, existing. The growth phase is like when they are new. Then for those that have biological life form, they will grow. Like plant, like the human being, they grow. Then they reach maturity, puberty, they plateau off. Then they start to go downhill or decay. And finally, they die. That is the nature's law. That is the universal characteristics. So, ignorance and illness, they are the two main diseases of the mind. Our mental suffering arises because of these two. So ignorance we already define, ignorant of truth, ignorant of the nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the spiritual law. Then because we do not have this understanding, we deludedly grasp, cling and hold on to things, especially our form and mind, believing that we are real, we exist. It is a permanent, unchanging entity. We can own things, we can have things, we can grasp onto things. But this is all delusion because of ignorance. So when we fail to understand this avijja, we land ourselves into trouble. That's the reason why the teaching start off with avijja as the first link within the paticca samuppada or dwelling, the law of dependent origination. So the Buddha say because of ignorant avijja, it condition sankara. Sankara is mental activity, mental thinking, mental arising. Because you don't have the understanding, you have this ignorance. So what happens is wanting to know, wanting to understand, you start to create thinking. That's why avijja paccaya sankara, dependent on avijja, sankara activity arise. Sankara is mental thinking, mental volition, mental states, all of the content of consciousness within the mental, that is sankhara. So when you do that, you create mental contact. So avijja paccaya sankhara. And when this sankhara arises, it is from memory, our brain. So we make contact with our brain, our memory. So our brain is an organ. So upon contact means when you start to think, you make contact. So upon contact, it gives rise to consciousness. That's why the third link is viññāṇaṁ. Avijja paccaya saṅkhara, saṅkhara paccaya viññāṇaṁ. That viññāṇaṁ is initially the pure consciousness. At the moment of sense experience, pure consciousness. Yeah. Then when the viññāṇaṁ arises, like the Buddha say, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness, or in the thinking, there is only the thought consciousness. The content of consciousness haven't gone in. But the moment you input your content of consciousness based on your views, opinion, and your conditioning and belief system, not based on wisdom, then you create delusion. The lack of understanding gives rise to delusion. So when the content of consciousness have delusion, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are there. That's how it forms the five mental aggregates of form and mind. So from the pure consciousness viññāṇa, you introduce the content of consciousness, which is basically the sankhara. The aggregates of vedana, sanya, sankhara. Then it becomes form and mind, nama rup, the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind. This is the mental five aggregate. Then from there, the whole chain reaction starts. That's how the dwelling starts. So it ends with suffering. It ends with all the attachment, grasping, clinging, then becoming. Then you take birth. You become that thing. Hence arise the whole mess of suffering. So this is what the teaching is all about. When you are mindful, aware, you can see all this, you can understand all this. Then we can understand who are we, what are we, how we function as a human being. So all this will be very clear. So hopefully with this explanation and introduction, you all can have a better understanding of the teaching. So now I go back to the sharing. So again, ignorance and afflictions are illness of the mind. So affliction are suffering or misery. Yeah? So mental suffering or illness come from basically ignorance. So from ignorance you grasp, you cling, you create affliction for yourself. Then the mind develop illness. Then he said, along with the four reality of life and existence. Yeah. So here the author writes, the four state of the body. These are realities of life and existence. The four states are birth, aging, sickness, and death. Under the teaching, the Buddha explained the noble truth of dukkha or suffering or affliction under the first noble truth. He said there are eight realities in this world, our existential world. If you confront this eight reality without wisdom, without understanding, without his teaching, you will suffer, you will be afflicted, you will develop illness of mind. So that is the teaching. So the author introduced it differently. He said, along with the four states of the body, of course, he labeled them as birth, aging, sickness, and death, or illness and death. These are all of the different forms of sufferings in life that the Buddha explained. And this one is explained under the first Noble Truth. We call it the reality of life and existence. The other four are when we are with people whom we don't like, when there is separation, separation from our loved ones, separation from our prized possession, or things that we hold on to dearly. Then the seventh reality is when our expectations in life are not met, when we cannot get what we want, it will lead to suffering. Or when things don't go your way, it will also lead to suffering. So these are the first seven realities. Then the eighth one is the final summary. The Buddha said, in short, all suffering or dukkha arise from our self-delusion that condition us to grasp and cling onto these five aggregates of form and mind, because it has delusion, ignorance. That's why you grasp and cling onto it. So he called them the five grasping aggregates. In Pali, it's called Upadana Khandas. These five grasping aggregate are dukkha. It will lead to suffering, affliction. So the whole teaching is very beautiful and very clear. Okay. So we read on. As children, we are innocent and happy. Not yet understanding the suffering of life. As we grow older and enter society, we start to pursue our desire and get into conflict with others, gradually picking up the various unwholesome habits when we see others indulge in comfort and luxury. We draw up similar plans for our own life, seeking money and status so that we can indulge in wealth, lust, fame, food, pleasure, and so on. So this is the author's way of describing it. But in order to understand better, I think I will explain it for you in a slightly different way so that you can understand the Four Noble Truths in a very deep and penetrative manner. But the Four Noble Truths is like the essence of the Buddha's teaching. The Buddha's teaching is like the secret of life. When you understand them, you understand life. You can become enlightened. You can be free from suffering. You can liberate your mind and free that mind from delusion, from ignorance. Then the beauty of this teaching is called the Four Noble Truths, because when you understand them, when you have the ability to awaken to them, it can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. That's why it's called the Noble Truth, the Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. So understanding this will lead to enlightenment, will lead to wisdom, can enable you to understand life, then you can live life beautifully. You can live life to the fullest. You can experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life. Then life becomes beautiful, meaningful, wonderful. Life takes a turn. So here the description is not so complete and not so detailed. So maybe I will use my own words and I will share with you so that you can understand. So here he says, as we grow older and enter society, what it means is we go through life. We go through life as a child. What happened? We grew up as a fetus. Then we become a baby. Then after that, if we have parents and proper support from our parents and guardians and others who take care of us, then we grow up to become initially maybe a young boy, then we grow up into a more elderly person they call youth, then after that we become adult, then we go through all the phases of growth and aging and all those things, then we experience life. So as we grow up as a kid, we are like happy-go-lucky, like what the author say, because you don't understand life yet. That time you are too young to understand life. So as you grow up, the parents will take care of everything if you have the good karma. So you may even go to kindergarten, and then after that you go to school, you have your education. Then after that you go to college and university. Then you graduate. So your childhood life, your student life, your life as a university student, as a youth, you go through all these beautiful phases and you experience them. So this is what life is all about, society is all about. But not everybody is that fortunate. Some may not have the support of proper food and shelter from their parents. Some are born without parents, or because of karma, circumstances and condition, they are born in war zone, difficult society, countries. So they may not be so fortunate. They are born with poverty, ignorance, lack of education, lack of basic needs, food and shelter, etc. So these are people who will experience suffering more. But most of us, because we have our good karma, we have our good life, we went through that phase that I described. And most of us maybe have university education and good, relatively good childhood life, student life, and undergraduate life. Then after that, we graduate, we enter society, we go into the career phase. In the career phase, we will work sometimes as an employee. Most of us start as employee, work for people. Then after that, some may be more ambitious. We move on to start our own business or build up our own company and expand on what we believe in and excel in the field that we like. Some may even go into sports or other type of profession. So it depends. So this is how, here the author used the word enter society, but it's actually our career phase, our working life phase. So during this time we are energetic, we are young, we are strong, we can strive, we can actually do a lot of things. We can really become very diligent, hardworking, and pursue our beliefs, pursue what we want in life. But as I understand, different people have different karmic paths, have different understanding of life. So they will pursue life differently. So as we have experienced after going through life, we see a lot of these things happening. Then as we go through the career phase, we will also witness our parents getting old, having all the first noble truth reality, especially old age, sickness and death starts to arise and haunt us. Sometimes we witness this in our grandparents, then later on our parents, then later on we become that age group that experience illness, sickness and death. Even for me at the age of 67, we already go through sufficient aspect of life, but old age and sickness may be not that far yet, but we have sufficient understanding because of what we have gone through. Then those who reach the age of 70 plus, 80 plus, that one, when you talk to them about illness, aging, sickness and death, they are very experienced. They can share with you on all this. And they will understand it much better. So this is what the first noble truth reality is all about. We have to confront all this first noble truth reality, the eighth reality that I described to you earlier on. If you live life long enough, you will confront them all, including old age, sickness and death. Then later on, we get married. We will witness birth too, birth of our own children. Initially, it's birth of our own siblings, if we are more elder. Then we witness later on our own children, the birth of our own children. Then later on, we become older, and if we happen to have grandchildren, we will witness the birth of grandchildren. We will go through those phases. Then we will experience all of the eight type of realities that the Buddha described under the first noble truth. And this is what we're supposed to observe when we go through life. That's why you don't develop the early understanding of this teaching, the Dhamma, and train our mind to have mindfulness, to be sensitive, to witness and understand all this, then we can never comprehend the profound teachings of the Buddha. The profound teachings of the Buddha need understanding to enable us to comprehend it clearly. Because under the second noble truth, the Buddha described this in detail. He said, whatever suffering that arises under the first noble truth is reality. There is a cause behind, and this cause is always self-delusion, that condition, craving, grasping, attachment, clinging. Basically, is craving, positive and negative. So that Sakkaya Ditthi, which is a major ignorance, is the cause of suffering. Self-delusion, that condition, craving. That's why he always say, craving, which include grasping, clinging, holding on to things with delusion, is the cause of suffering. When we have craving, when we want things our way, when we crave for things to last, to continuously, like having the good life, just like our physical body, we have craving. We don't want it to grow old, get sick and die. We want it to be forever young, beautiful, handsome and all those things. And we crave for the good life. We crave for a lot of things to be permanent. We crave for all the wholesome things, the good things. We push away all those that are not good or unwholesome, that leads to suffering and misery and all those things. So that's how human suffering, affliction comes about. Basically, it's from ignorance leading to self-delusion. That condition all these things. So when we understand the cause of suffering, we will know how to mitigate life. We will know how to improve on our life. So when you understand the reality of life and existence, the first number two, what constitutes suffering or affliction or dukkha, then we know the cause. We definitely can manage it better. We can, through this understanding, reverse what happened. When we know the cause, we can abandon it. We can root it out. We can develop wisdom, straighten our view. Then we can change the way we perceive life, the way we understand life. Then through this wisdom and understanding, we develop the initial wisdom, which the Buddha called Yoniso Manasikara. When we have Yoniso Manasikara, then we become different. Our mind does not react to sense experience like before. It does not create duality and suffering and misery, the like and dislike, the pleasant and the unpleasant sense experience. So all these are mental suffering or mental hindrance that conditions suffering, misery, dukkha. So all this, when we understand, our life improve. Then we can determine to change our life through this right view, to live life in accordance with the advice of the Buddha. That's why we will learn to avoid all evil through keeping precepts. We will learn to cultivate wholesomeness through cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. Then we will learn to purify our mind, to develop the mindfulness, the stability of mindfulness and awareness within, leading to heedfulness through cultivating the right mindfulness and right samadhi. With samasati and samadhi, based on right view or guided by right view. So if you do that, the Buddha say, you will realize the third noble truth. The third noble truth is suffering need not be, the Buddha say, enlightenment in the here and the now. Cessation of suffering can be realized. Nibbana can be realized in the here and the now before you die. So this third noble truth gave us good understanding. There is a reason for us to pursue this teaching, to develop the training, the meditative understanding to awaken so that we can realize this third number two, enlightenment factor of realizing the cessation of dukkha. So the third number two is the noble truth of cessation of all suffering. So Nibbana can be realized in the here and the now before you die. Then the fourth noble truth explained to us very clearly that suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. So how to do it? The path that lead to the end or cessation of all suffering, that is the fourth noble truth. Under the fourth noble truth, the Buddha said, there is this Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate them, it will lead to the end of all suffering. Enlightenment in the here and the now, you will realize Nibbana. So this is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That's why whatever you do in the name of enlightenment or meditation, if it doesn't bring you back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. You must have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. Where you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path, you are very noble in all aspects of life. You not only have right view, you will also have right speech, right action, and right thought process. Then you will also have the right understanding to live life in accordance. That's why you will have right living and right livelihood factor. Then you will also have this ability to arise the four right effort to constantly purify and improve on your own personality, character, and understanding of life. Then after that, you will develop heedfulness, right mindfulness, stabilize it to become heedfulness. Then it will also develop what we call samadhi. Samadhi, which is the mind that is trained, stabilized. When sati stabilized, this mind becomes unwavering, collected. It does not stir anymore. Upon contact with sense spaces, whatever arises, the mind has this samadhi. the stability of samadhi, which will make this mind collected and unwavering. It does not waver. It's not stir. It does not react to sense experience. So this is what the Buddha calls samadhi. When you have samadhi, every moment of sense experience, your mind can see things as they are, because it does not stir, it does not react, it does not make you confused. Then when you can see things as they are, you awaken. You can insight into phenomena, you can awaken. That's how enlightenment in the here and now can arise, can become a living reality when you cultivate these Noble Eightfold Path qualities, especially sati leading to samadhi. And the whole teaching, the four foundations of mindfulness, the Abhijja Sutta, is based on all this essential Dhamma and the mindfulness that the Buddha taught, Noble Eightfold Path. So this will complete the description of his Four Noble Truths, which is the essential Dhamma of the Buddha, or the secret of life. So this explanation is complete and very much more detailed. So when you understand this, you understand the teaching deeply. Okay? So we can move on. Children are pure and innocent, but as they grow older and are gradually influenced by their surroundings, their desire grows, means craving. When the karmic causes they have brought from their past life come together with the tempting condition of their current life, ignorance and affliction will gradually contaminate their mind. So this is very true, because it's all karmic. The Buddha, under the five daily contemplation, the fifth one, he said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. So you have to include this fifth daily contemplation to understand what the author is trying to share with you. And because of that, whatever our karmic causes from our past life, they were condition us into what we are. That's why they will come together with the tempting condition for our current life. Then ignorance and affliction will gradually contaminate their mind. This is only true for people with a lot of negative karma, delusion and all those things. Those who are great beings, bodhisattva, when they come, they are different. They have very little of all this. What we call ignorance and affliction. This one, they have much less. So their mind is not easily contaminated by ignorance and affliction. They have certain quality in them that make them different. The outlook of life, the way they arise, it could be from the same parent. Like my family, my parents gave birth to 9 of us, 9 siblings, but everyone is different. We are born from the same parent, live in the same locality, and grew up in the same environment. But everyone is different. That's why if you look at life, you understand all this. So as a result, the author say, they become lost and misguided, constantly drifting in the sea of desire. So this one is only true for people without Dhamma, without good coming inheritance and coming past. If they continue to create negative karma, their affliction will grow worse, and they will continuously be trapped by negative karma and affliction. It is in such a state of confusion that they age, fall ill, and eventually die with delusion. So this is only typical of those who don't have good karmic past. But now the Buddha Sasana is still around. I think not everybody is like that. There are some who stand out differently. Experiencing physical, tangible illness and pain is great suffering. Yeah, without the Dhamma understanding, when you go through old age sickness and death, even injury, disease, sickness, is great suffering. Drifting in the formless sea of desire is also unspeakable suffering. Both illness of the body and the mind require great medicine king to diagnose and treat them. This is very true, and it's not easy to do this type of work. You really must have your strong karmic path, your whatever training, cultivation and inheritance, both spiritual and karmic. Your spiritual nature and your karmic nature must be strong, otherwise you can't do this work. Suji's mission of medicine has now spread across the world. There are Suji clinics offering free medical care in the United States, the Philippines, Malaysia, and elsewhere. And they also hold regular free clinic in Brazil, Argentina, Sri Lanka, etc. In addition, members of the Suji International Medical Association, they call it DIMA, D-I-M-A, in Singapore, the U.S. and other countries, frequently organize medical outreach overseas. In particular, DIMA Philippines has held hundreds of large-scale free clinics since it started conducting medical outreach in rural area in the year 1995. So this Suji International Medical Association, they are very widespread, very famous. So they really play their role and help many people, especially those who are afflicted, the rural areas and all those suffering population, which don't have much help and support from society and the government. There is a story from the Philippines about an ill and impoverished elderly couple. The husband had diabetic and was left untreated for years because they had no money to see a doctor. As a result, his peripheral nervous system degenerated and his body began to rot, starting with his feet. His joints began to crack and peel, and his flesh to fester. So from the description, you know, that form of suffering is really, really severe. When Tima volunteers visited him, he raised his leg and a piece of rotten flesh just dropped off, exposing the calf bones, which was severely deformed as well. His leg was mangled. His wife was also ill, and the elderly couple did not have the strength to support each other. So just imagine this type of suffering we have never seen before, and they witnessed this. And it's not really easy. The wife said to the Tima volunteers, "The house really stinks." An old Chinese saying goes, "If you stay in the fish market long enough, you won't smell the stench." However, although this elderly couple had lived in their house for a long time, they could still smell the stench. This shows just how badly the house smelled. Yet the doctor and volunteers from Suji were unfazed by the smell. They stepped right inside, empathizing with the elder, with this elderly couple, all the more for having to suffer this terrible stench every day. These medical volunteers carefully provide treatment to relieve their long-term suffering. So this is really something very, very beautiful. We should rejoice in all this wholesomeness. Then for the past 10 years or so, Tsuchi missions of medicine in the Philippines has transcended the boundary of religion. When the locals in Mary Catholic School moved to the countryside, they offered to sell the campus to the city, in the city, to Tsuchi, and the two organizations thus established a good connection with each other. Now Tsuchi's TIMA member not only provide free clinic service for the students of this school, they also treat dental problems and even provide dentures for students with vision and eye problems. Tsuchi provide eye surgery or prescription glasses. The nuns from the school are very grateful for this. Before Tsuchi's 100th large-scale free clinic, they spent one whole month teaching the students songs and dances to be performed at the celebration commemorating the occasion. At the celebration, the nun also went on stage to personally thank Tsuchi volunteers for their long-term medical support. Clearly, these medical professionals are living bodhisattvas who not only treat mental or physical illness, but also care for the heart and minds of those who are suffering. So when you have such organization, they not only do charity, they can serve humanity, mankind, without any motive or intent to benefit. They just do. That is tremendous sincerity and faith and understanding. They are really living bodhisattvas. Only the real cultivator of the way can have this type of understanding, can see through all this. Yeah. That's why they can do this work. So actually this work is not for normal weak-hearted people. This one demands a lot of understanding, commitment, faith, sincerity, and perseverance. Okay, very good. This topic is very good. This chapter is very good. Okay, we are still earlier, 12:43. Okay, I will continue a bit more. Among the eight suffering in life, this one refers to the first noble truth, eight reality. They call it the eight type of suffering. The most painful is illness. When poverty is added to illness, this is suffering on top of suffering. So the eight sufferings are birth, aging, or what we call decay, illness. Illness means sickness, and death. Then parting from people we love means separation from our loved one. They miss out our loved one and wealth, property, and choice, possession. So separation has many aspects of separation. Then also separation can also happen due to many ways. One of them is forced separation. The other one is separation due to death. And the other one is separation due to relationship breakdown. Then there are other ways of separation too. Sometimes due to war, due to nature's disaster, calamity, and all those things. Then the next one is, they use the English translation, I think not so proper. They say meeting those we hate. Means when you are with people whom you don't like should be the better one. Then not attaining what we desire. This one also the English not so good. Not able when things don't go your way, it's a better way to phrase it. When you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, when your expectations in life are not met. And the final summary is, how come they use the raging fire aggregate? No, the grasping. It should be the fire grasping aggregate. Maybe their English is not so good. Suji's four mission work in unison. The eight footprint cross national boundaries. By providing aids and conducting free clinic, we help to relieve the suffering of the impoverished, the sick, and those afflicted or affected by disaster, and promptly eradicate the illness of their body and mind. So this four mission work is very meaningful, very beautiful, and also the eight footprints. So the first thing they do is to provide assistance or aids, then conduct free clinic, then to help relieve suffering of the impoverished, the sick, and those afflicted by disease, and promptly eradicate the disease of their body and mind. So these eight footprints are very beautiful. The eight reality of suffering of life, aside from birth, old age, sickness, and death, also include separation from loved ones and prized possession. They miss out quite a lot of things. Or our separation of our wealth and property and things we own or hold on to dearly. That one they miss out. Then when we are with people whom we don't like, when we cannot get what we want, when things don't go away, and the grasping, angry, by angry upon my mind. Not being able to be together with people that we love causes great suffering. Being forced to be with those we intensely dislike, people whom we don't like. People that make us angry as soon as we see them. This is suffering of meeting those we don't like. Not being able to get what we want is suffering of not attaining what we desire. So this is not able, when things don't go your way, suffering will be the end result. In our everyday life, we can never escape the five grasping aggregates of form, feeling, perception. Why do you use the word action? And consciousness. It's supposed to be the five aggregates of form and mind. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana. So the action word is wrong, it should be Sankara. Form is correct, Rupa. Feeling is Vedana. Perception is Sanya. Then here, action is not correct. It should be Sankara, mental activity, mental states, content of consciousness. The word mental activity or Sankara is the perfect word. Then consciousness. When you grab to this fire, we get a form of mind, thinking that they are real, they belong to you, you suffer. You think the feeling you experience is real, feeling is you, you suffer. You cling on to your feeling, your perception, your sankara, mental thinking, mental state, views, opinion, and conditioning. And you cling on to what you become conscious of. We are your seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness. You will suffer because when you attach and grasp onto them deludedly, suffering will be the result. Of the eight suffering, the suffering of illness is the most painful. Birth and aging are natural processes that we do not experience consciously, we have to add in when we are young. However, the birth of illness is hard to bear. The pain of illness is hard to bear. If one has the financial means to get treatment for one's illness, then at least there is a way to relieve the physical suffering. If in addition to being ill, one is poor and alone, without any help or support, then that is suffering on top of suffering. Looking around the world, is there any country where people are free of poverty and illness and not affected by old age and loneliness? When old age, poverty and illness are combined, it creates unspeakable suffering. So this is trying to go through the first noble truth in reality. Okay. 持戒's four mission work in unison. 持戒's mission of charity help those suffering from poverty, illness and loneliness. Whereas there is disaster or poverty, if at all possible, 慈济 volunteer will go there and provide care and aids. Our mission of medicine aims to universally provide medical care to people. As long as there are doctors who are willing to devote themselves to this mission, the sick will be able to receive treatment. When members of TM collaborate with 慈济 volunteers to hold free clinic around the world, we see the mission of charity and medicine working together. So these two actually very important functioning arm to relieve suffering. The hope of humanity lies in education. In addition to education in school, it is also important to promote education in society. How do we go about teaching everyone to uphold the basic principle of humanity and morality? This has necessitated the mission of humanistic culture to widely spread the teachings of the Buddha, demonstrate moral values, and reveal the pure, inert nature of mankind. To achieve this, we need living bodhisattvas. This is very true. Okay, good. We are about just nice finishing. 慈济's four mission transcend nationality and ethical boundaries. Their purpose is to eradicate the cause of illness in people's body and mind. Living bodhisattvas who carry out this mission. Living bodhisattvas who carry out this mission to save the sick and suffering are a great blessing to the world. Okay, so we stop here. This is beautiful. And we will continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by Q&A question or whatever that you want to share. You can also share whatever that is related to life, Dhamma in daily life. So all this will be very useful. Okay, we will open it up for sharing. You can just come in if you have any meditation to report or any question to ask or share.
其实，我们今天上的这本书其实大部分都是在解释慈济的一些活动，对不对？
啊，对。
对 ，very good. You summarize it very well, Ron.
那我有一个问，其实我一直有这个问题，我以前也问过 Father Dale， 就是说，其实，我也知道说 self practice， 我们自己的，怎么讲，自己的精进其实是最重要的。
对。
不论你去外面参加多少的活动，或者是说，其实最重要的是你自己的精进，因为如果你不进步的话，
对，
你帮助人家其实是有限的。
对对对， 杀掉。
那
可是、啊、你的思想，
可是其实我会觉得说，其实慈济他大部分的人认为说他其实是在 action 方面，在 charity 方面去帮助人家。
对 对。
那我会认为说，两个如果互相能够配合，
对，
其实是互相可以怎么讲，互相可以帮助我们的修行，也可以让我们自己知道说，到底我们到底是怎么一回事，已经在什么状态了。
哦，很好啊，哇，你
那可是问题就是在当你去帮，你根本还没有能力帮助别人的时候，
对，对，我
你可以这样做吗？
啊，很好啊 ，very good question. I think I know what you want to ask. 还有什么吗？
啊，这是我的
question.
对。
Very good. 谢谢你啊 ，Thank you, 慧荣。For the benefits of those who may not understand Mandarin, I explain a bit. I think 慧荣 have a very good understanding of all this.And she has a very good question, which is very relevant. He said he observed most of our sharing from this book and even the other book, The Path to Truth, involve a lot of the teaching and also part of, mainly involving Cici's activity and what they do. And their activity and their do is, their,activity and whatever they do through their organization is to actually help people to relieve suffering and to bring about all this assistance to humanity, to those who have gone through disaster, suffering, misery and all those things. In fact, this is Cici's way, their mission. But according to Huirong's understandingHe said self-practice, self-cultivation is more important to train ourselves when we are ready, when we can do this work, then it will have more meaning. Then also if we can combine both, yeah, so it will become more efficient or more beautiful. Means self-practice.Self-training, develop the understanding, then only move on to help people. Of course, that is ideal. But we need to understand here, that's why he said, she asked me this question before and I answered her before too. So now I will answer it again. Maybe this time you all will understand it clearer and deeper. The last time I answered is also the same.But Cici's way is different, like I explained. The four Buddhist tradition that actually manifested from Taiwan and become a very famous or renowned Buddhist tradition and organization, they all have different motive.Not to say motive, they all have different function and they serve different purposes. So maybe I will go through this again so that you all can have better understanding. So first, we have what they call Fa Gu San. So Fa Gu San is famous for meditation. So the master's Sun Yan Fa Si is a very...famous meditation teacher. So Fa Gu San's core training is meditation. That's why you want to learn meditation. That is the tradition that you have to go to or the organization that you can go and try. Then we have the other one, the singing Fa Si, who started this Fo Guang San. So under singing is Buddhist education. Their organization is very strong in Buddhist education or Buddhist learning. Of course, they also have their charity arm. They also have their meditation and all those things, the Dhamma, all those things, just like Fakusan. But their forte or speciality is Buddhist education. The way they build their way place, their temple, and the way they set up their activity and their program is all geared towards Buddhist education, because that is their very strong forte or foundation. Then the third one is, of course, we have Ciji. Ciji. So Ciji is from the word of the establishment of their organization. Ciji. Ci is Cipei. Ji is Jiuji. So with love and compassion, they go and help in crisis time. In time of what they call nature's disaster or calamity. So their mission is charity and helping all these people who experience nature's disaster and calamity. Then the last one is Zhong Tai Chan Shi. I think that one is to train people to plant the seed of Bodhi, to walk the Bodhisattva way. So these four traditions, they are all very different. But if you can combine all these four cultivation and practices, then you will become complete. So for Ciji is, he wants to train people to witness suffering first, to follow their members and volunteers and witness. Then as you follow, you are exposed to all these various types of suffering, misery. Then like what the Buddha actually taught, suffering, the first noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. If you don't experience it yourself firsthand or witness it yourself and see, you cannot understand. That's why those who go on all this is because they either have the faith, the understanding, then they decide to go volunteer and give it a try. Then when they go, they experience a lot of things. Then they also learn their teaching. They also have their Dhamma class. Then when you interact with all these people who actually do this work, a lot of them are very senior, very experienced. Then they already are walking Bodhisattva. That's why they are called living Bodhisattva. Ren Jian Pusa. So this is how their organization actually built it up. So the beauty of this tradition is you don't have to have very good understanding of the teaching or what. You just go. Then it seems when you start to help out and do all this, follow their way and their training, their tradition, your life improves. And you develop a lot of love, compassion, gratitude. Then a lot of joy through helping people, through seeing people turn around, being relieved by what you do, your activity and all those things. So this brings about a lot of joy. Then they also experience a lot of very dramatic type of happening. That's why they have the Tai Tai, the TV of great love, where they really show you a lot of this real life story, but they rebuild up the story to like video or show. So these are real life happening where they put it into video. Then when you are able to view them and see them, you develop a lot of joy and a lot of understanding that this mission of Ciji can really bring about great transformation to human life, to living beings' life, and it can help build up a very strong organization and foundation to relieve suffering, to help mankind, humanity, to be a blessing to all, to bring about improvement in the totality of world consciousness. They also do recycling and many other activities. But their training is different. They don't emphasize on meditation, self-practice and other things like what Huirong mentioned, which is very true. So in the early days, when people ask me about all this tradition, I say the best is you find out what is unique to yourself, your karmic path. What have you been exposed to, and which of these organizations suit you most? Then you go there first. You can start from anywhere, anywhere, actually. But the most important thing is to finally go through all the training. For me, because of my past, I developed it differently. So I understand all this tradition. Then the way my nature come, I already have the training, the understanding. Then I can move into any of this if I want to. But that training is long time ago. My nature has done all this long time ago. So my nature don't have to go through any of all this. So my nature come, I do a different role. My nature is to develop the condition for cultivator who have affinity with my nature and the triple gem to come and learn this unique teaching that Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and Maitreya wanted me to share with the world, especially Maitreya. So that was my mission. That's why I can explain all this to you. Then for you all, it is your choice what you want to do. For me, generally, the best is to make sure you have the Dhamma first. You have the understanding first. Then you go to all this tradition. You can fit in. You will know what to do and you become different. Very different. Yeah. And you don't have to start like normal people from zero base and all those things. You start with proper understanding. Yeah. Then when you move into it, you will experience a different exposure to life, to existence. So if you walk the Bodhisattva way, you have to try all this tradition. Then you have to develop the understanding to become unique, to become who you are, what you are. Then you will find out what is your mission. What is it that your nature is good at, and what is it that you want to do? Your vows and all those things. You will have to develop it, understand it, then from there continue to cultivate. Continue to perfect yourself and develop the understanding. So Huiyong's question is very good. It brings about a very good condition for us to really reflect on the cultivation and on life and on understanding what all these four major Buddhist traditions has had already developed for us to understand. Then you can make your decision. You can have your choice. That's why that year, when we visited Taiwan, I think we were very fortunate. We were very lucky. That trip was a great trip, that spiritual trip. I forgot the year already. I think it was many years back, at least 4 or 5 years back. It was organized by, I think, Padmasri, but we were lucky because we knew Huirong was from Taiwan and she helped us to plan the program. Wow, it turned out so beautiful. We visited all the four traditions. We visited and actually understand a lot of what they do. And we really had a lot of joy. We even stay at Pho Quang. We stay for 2 nights, if I'm not wrong. Pho Quang San. And we went to Pha Cu San. We also visited the Chiqi. Chiqi, we visited Hualien, I think. And also, there's another one somewhere near Kaohsiung, I forgot already. Then, Zhongtai Chanshi was a beautiful one. That one, that temple was still new at that time, and the abbot was 94 years old. And that place, when I went, wow, it was so beautiful. And they even opened up the very unique. There is a 7-story building, I remember, where they had all the beautifully carved great beings, including all the very very beautiful. The way they developed it was very nice, very nice. I can't describe to you. You have to be there. You have to see the video. And there were one or two areas which is supposed to be not open to public one. But that day when we were there, it was very strange. Somehow, I don't know because of our group or what, they suddenly allow us to go up. So that place was very unique, really. They have a few halls, I think Maitreya and the Nawat Hall. Then there is a great medicine Buddha or the Nawat, I think. Very big one up there. Then a very special meditation area and all this here. So we managed to actually went in and witness and see them. Then I remember Sri An's mother was with us. So she was full of joy. Sri An, Mi Fong, they are pushing her on wheelchair. That was the most beautiful trip. And we actually learned a lot of things. Then from Pha Cu San, we took back some beautiful brooches. Brooches, they are very small booklet brooches. One of them is the Bodhisattva precepts and walking the Bodhisattva path. The moment I read that thing, I knew what that thing was. That's why when we came back, it was the time for us to actually move into the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. That's why the condition arise, Kaya Mita starts to request. Then the sharing came about, then the book also came. And all this happened because of our spiritual trip to Taiwan. And we visited a lot of very well-known tourist sites too. Yeah. One of them is of course the 101 Tower. And we also went to this, we took the rail to the other side of the island, flying one, flying cow. Let's see, was it a flying cow? I don't know what. No, but when we checked out in a place, yeah, I cannot remember. The Hui Yong will remember where the weather there is very beautiful, and we had a very nice dinner there too, and we stayed there for a night or two. So Hui Yong fly in late, came with a family member, but we managed to meet her there, and if I'm not wrong, we celebrated her birthday there or whatever, something of that. Nature, I also cannot remember. Fei Niu or what? It's like farmland and farm area, but it's a resort. It's very nice. So all this gave rise to great condition. Then all this Buddhist tradition, they were so meaningful, so beautiful. So there was so much joy. So with all this understanding and condition, after that trip we came back, a lot of things happened. So I start to share and I start to teach. And there is a book, if I'm not wrong, with that transcript on that Taiwan Before we leave for the Taiwan trip, there was a transcript book that I explained the causes and condition behind and how all this unfold and happen, and the benefits of going for all this type of spiritual trips. The energy there, the great beings, the condition, and as Kayamita when we move together, the collective consciousness, the energy, when you are with my nature. So all this were very beautiful. So as far as Huirong's question, I hope I have answered you, Huirong. Yeah. So now you can come in again, Huirong.
Ah. 可是其实讲回我的问题哦，因为其实当我们在帮助别人的时候，常常我们也是受帮助。
Yeah.
我看过很多大爱台的那些电视节目，那其实他们的方式其实，最终的结论就是。其实虽然你在帮助别人，可是其实你是在帮助你自己。
对 ，you reap what you sow， 那个是因果，轮回，重因。
因为当你在帮助别人的时候，你如果可以把你的心给打开，无私的帮助人的时候，其实那个时候你是没有你自己存在，而且你可以。体会到更多，我们身为人生，然后更多其实是因为我们身为人生，所以我们能够这样子做，然后所以在那当下，其实受惠的是我们自己，而不是那些所谓我们帮助的人。
呀，对对对对，
这个我觉得才是。虽然说我们在帮助别人，可是其实我们不能站在那个小我的境界，而是我不知道怎么讲。
那个重点就是 finally 它是 benefit 到你的 nature， 因为你付出那个时候 means when they really do this work they sacrifice。They don't have a selfish motive. They volunteer to help, and they don't know who they are helping. So it's a selfless type of thing. When they go there, they fulfill the mission, the work that they're supposed to do. So it's out of love, out of compassion, out of helping relieve suffering. But when you really witness nature's disaster,It can be horrendous. The suffering can be really horrendous. Like just now, the description is just one couple. But when you go through all those very severe nature's disaster, especially flood or fire and all those things, it's not easy to do this work. You need a lot of very experienced senior members and volunteers.To actually organize all this. So a lot of the volunteers, they follow their senior people's instruction and they execute their plan. And they are so experienced and so skillful, they can actually gather a lot of assistance, support and all those things. And they know how to deal with authority, they know how to...resolve their issue and problem and have all this assistance to come to support them and help them have the means to do all this work. So Tsuji has this experience and they are very well trained. I was told their training center is very, very established. They have one in Malacca, I was told. Somebody said he went there before and it was very good. It's really like military training.They are very organized and all those things. And they are taught various types of leadership training to organize, to actually plan out the thing and execute. Then support is very good. And they have faith. They believe in what they do. That's why they are willing to sacrifice. Fu chu, sacrifice is very important. Then like Hui Rong say, is very true. When you actually do all this work, the one that benefit the most is the person sincerely do it. Their nature will benefit. Because this is a law of karma. You reap what you sow. But they do not have so much of that thought that this is something very wholesome. Most of them do this because they benefited from Ziji before. That's why they are willing to help. They are willing to go that far to do it. So a lot of these are people who get themselves rehabilitated, like drug addict or something. Then they turn around and they see the benefits. Then they want to volunteer. Then there are other people who, because of various other problems, they also benefited, turn around. That's why they're willing to go and do this. So, but there are a lot of others who just came in and because they believe in Suchi's organization activity and they want to find out more and they get themselves registered as volunteer. Then some, they even train themselves and become members, I think. And they got various type of grades. I also not very familiar with all this, but I heard from a lot of Tsuchi volunteers and people. Yun Chan is one of them who has been there quite a while. And quite a lot of our Kayamita Tsuchi volunteers and members too, including Christina and many others. So like what Hui Rong share is very good. Your self-practice, self-cultivation is also a very important aspect of cultivation. So the Tsuchi's way is unique in their own way because the organization was organized that way. And their teaching is from the Tai Tai and the early morning and the various type of teaching given by their abbess, the Zhen Yan Fa Si. She used to have this early morning talk and all those things. And my brothers, they are from Alastair, they joined Tsuchi, they help out in Tsuchi a lot. It is something that suit them because they are Chinese or Mandarin educated and they can understand, they like to go there. Then they have very good, what they call, a very good they call Si Xiong Si Qi and what is thing, where they really work together very well. Then my brother liked the place because they share a lot of good things and if you need help, they are there to help you and there's a lot of contact too. They also have a lot of what they call, what you call, like you, after you graduate from the university, you got your alumni and all those things, where you contact each other, you call, not only reunion, like you benefit from each other's information and expertise and all those things. Like they share some. there's an English word I forgot already. Like in SIAT and all this, their organization very big. Networking, yes, the word is networking. Yeah, there's a lot of networking. Because whenever you need anything, because they have helped so many people, they have received so much aids and all things. So whatever you need, they will know one from that place, that city, that, or even the network of the organization, even all the way up to Taiwan or all over the world. So they have this very good networking and sharing. That's why my brother, they all actually, they help out a lot. and their life improved. They can see because there is a lot of joy. Then they send out this Jing Shi Ye, the code. These are very useful Dharma code that can actually change a person. And they teach you Noble Eightfold Path too. Because my brother used to ask me, what is this Noble Eightfold Path? He cannot understand. Then the Four Noble Truths, Susan Tiel. So in the early days, he cannot understand because he Mandarin educated and not exposed to Dhamma. But after I explained to him, oh, he start to understand and appreciate that he learned very fast. So that's why if you want to learn the Dhamma from Ziqi, it's not easy. Not easy. But if you really want to learn the Dhamma, you go to Fo Quang, or you want to learn meditation type of Dhamma, you go to Fa Gusan. Then if you want to know the Bodhisattva way and all the Song Tai Chan Si, all those things. So there are various Buddhist traditions where you can learn all these things. Then you want to learn the true teaching that combine Theravada and Mahayana, you can come to my class, my sharing. There you can learn. Okay, hello.
其实我觉得参加什么团体都好，如果你很sincere的在参加，因为我觉得其实每个团体都有人，对，其实有人的地方一定会有问题的，对，所以其实我们就是学习优点，然后，因为，而且我以前一直有一个，我要share我上次我们去台湾的时候，其实我以前一直认为说台湾有很多的佛教组织，然后，他们都很有钱。
哦，对，
有一个，他们都很有钱，然后很有钱的情况之下，会让别人误解，也会让人家去。想错方向，因为他的组织里面有太多人，那可能有一个人传递了错误的讯息，可能都让人家误解。
对，
那我记得我们去中台禅寺的时候，因为中台禅寺那一个寺庙，它盖得太富丽堂皇，富丽堂皇，就是让人家会觉得，怎么花这么多钱在盖这个 building，
对对对对对。
那我记得很清楚，那个带我们的那个师姐，她就说，其实这个不是他们在炫耀，她其实有特别提出来哦，
对，
这不是在炫耀，而是在她要接引十方的信众，然后她要让大家都可以结一个好缘，不论你是从很有钱的家庭来，还是从很穷的家庭来，他其实都，他只是要好像要，结一个善缘，一个善根，然后从那边开始这样子。
对对对。
那个外表的富丽堂皇，并不是他们的 intention。我觉得，我听了这个概念之后，我就觉得，其实我就很接受说，为什么需要，需要做的这么富丽堂皇呢，或者是做的这么
漂亮啊？
对对对对，为什么要花这么多钱？
对，
所以那时候我觉得他那个概念其实我很认同，所以我也就接受了他们的这样子的做法。那其实他们有他们的 intention， 其实我们用我们的 mundane mind 去想说怎么这样，其实
出来了他的真正的眼睛。因为他是 very sincere， 因为我拿到一本 very small booklet， 他 explain all these things inside there， 很 simple 的。The booklet explain the abbot 那个97岁的那个那个师傅老师傅，我忘记他的名字了。他讲 translated in English， which is very good。He said build this temple, people may think it's very luxurious, very expensive and all those things. But he said his intention is very simple, very, very simple. Because our society has evolved, you see. What he wants is to build something that can establish the Dhamma, the whole of the Dhamma teaching, the Bodhisattva way, everything, and make it into a destination for people to come. He said he strongly believes with this type of design and setup and understanding, a lot of people will visit this place. Could be millions, he said, in a year. What he needs, he said, oh, this is most beautiful. Yeah. He said, what he needs is, of all these millions of people, he only needs to have one, sincere one, he said, who, because of what he saw, developed the faith, the sincerity, and that very strong resolve to plant the Bodhi mind, the seed of Bodhi. And this one, when it nurtures, and he becomes successful in his training and become a great being, and finally become a Samasambuddha, all of the effort and the money that they have spent is worth everything, really. Because this will last, and this will bring for a lot of condition. So my nature rejoiced when I heard that, when I read that. Because this is very true. What you need is just a handful that really turn and have that resolve to actually go the Bodhisattva way. Because the way he built that place was so amazing, beautiful. To me, it's not the luxury. It's the way he did it. It was so well done, meticulous, the energy very good. And the way the carving and the images were done, they were so beautiful. They bring about that type of mind which will really develop the understanding, the faith, and the joy. Then that time my nature arose very strong. That's why I can feel a lot of things during that trip there to Zhongtai Chanshi. And I went up to the very top too. Then I visited every of the hall, and I can feel their great being's nature. That's why I had a lot of joy that trip. That's why we really were very grateful to Hui Rong, because you recommended all this itinerary. And we were able to go because you modified their itinerary. And all the places we went to, that was my first and only trip to Taiwan. And it was so amazing. And I managed to visit all the important places that I want to visit. And it, even let you plan, you cannot plan it so well. That's why once again, Hui Rong, thank you so much. And also to all the Kaimita that make this possible, especially Pamasuri Deo. So also, was it Mr. That organized the thing? I think so. I forgot already. And the high-speed train, all those things. Very interesting, that journey, that trip. It was so beautiful. And we visited a lot of tourist spot also when we were at that city was one the capital city of Taiwan is what?
首都还是台北啊?
台北啊，台北啊，还是台北啊。台北啊，台北啊。Not only the 101 building, we went to that what? There's a very nice tourist area where there's a garden and also the hall. A lot of historical thing. And Kaohsiung also, wow, Kaohsiung, I really like the design of Fo Kwang, Fo Kwang San, wow, Kaohsiung that. The, some of Fo the, they built that great Buddha at the end where we have to walk that thing. 成佛大道, very beautiful. Then I visited all the other buildings, and they also, Kayamita also bought a lot of souvenirs. souvenirs and all that. But this is for donation. We actually did it because of the donation. We want to donate, was that way placed. Then our Kaimita Fund also make a lot of donation for that trip. It was so beautiful. As I say, Siani, that trip.
没有没有，我自己也是很很高兴可以可以这样子参观啊，
带我们走呀。
因为因为虽然我常回去，可是我也很少会说哦一个一个 temple 这样子去。
对，
所以就好像佛光山，其实我小的时候，我的阿嬷常常带我去。
哦 ，OK，
只是都不一样了。
啊、哦，是了，是了。还有一间那个庙啊，我们第一个 stop 的、啊，你还记得吗？
灵鹫山。
啊，
那个叫灵鹫山。
灵鹫山、啊、对，那个路边的、啊。
对的。
我们一到啊，那个师姐跟我们讲啊，哇，他说啊，因为我们有 appointment 嘛 ，the night before， 哇 ，it was like， monsoon 啊，哦，你们的台风啊 ，it was raining cats and dogs， 所以他以为不能够visit 了。But the next day, surprisingly, the rain all stopped. 我们到那边了。哦，那天 also very special, the temple, the energy, the nature, very good. 小间的庙，九什么？灵鹫山。
灵鹫山啊。
对，那个是你介绍的啊，灵鹫山。
啊，对对对，其实它在台北还很有名，然后它其实。其实你们应该要到山上那一个
啊，对，那个我
可是时间来不及了。
那个那个很大，有一个 Mama Sri 有 show 我那个 video， 我们本来是要 organize 一个 trip 那边的 ，but MCO and all those things so 不能够了。I think Jinna also know that one of the 师兄 in that temple。那个梦也是很出名的，我忘记什么名字了。
对，那所以其实应该说台湾比较大的佛教团体，其实在那个村已经通通去完了。
哦，是哦，所以我们很幸运，好彩有慧荣。
没有没有。
那那个村又遇到你的 parent 呢、啊？
哦。因为我还没回家嘛，所以他们就先跑来，
顺便呢、啊，是吧？那个 trip was very memorable, very beautiful, 沙雕，所以谢谢你，慧荣，
不会不会，谢谢巴特就给我这个机会。
阿弥陀佛，阿弥陀佛。
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes.
Good evening, Brazil and also Yamamisa.
Yeah.
那个台湾 trip 我没有 involve。
啊？不是你啊？
不是我
哦，谁呀、
啊？你的那个 briefing 的时候啊，那 before the Taiwan
哦，云灿，云灿呀，云灿，一定是云灿。
Before that Taiwan trip, that book, the book, who you are, what you are, is the briefing for the Taiwan trip.
对对对 ，I think 云灿，云灿 ，sorry, I made a mistake. 呀，云灿是云灿，那个时候你还没有 organize 呀、
啊。
院长呀呀呀，各位。
那个他那本书，那个我们那本书啊，那个 transcript， Who you are, what you are 是台湾 trip 的。
哦、oh, ，OK， good， good， good。So later on 我们可以 share 那本了，沙雕。哇、oh, ，Thank you for correcting me.
It's all about talking about the Bodhisattva.
Yeah, the Bodhisattva. Yes. That's how everything started. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Now I remember because Yun Chan's friend was a tour agent, then he know he has good contact with the Taiwan side, and I think that company Yun Chan's friend also has a stake inside there. Yeah, now I remember. Yeah, so it's Yun Chan. Yeah, Raymond and Yun Chan. Yeah, thank you for correcting. Sadio, huh?
Thank you, Russell.
Anything else, Mosley?
没有了，我只是要做一个 correction。
Yeah, very good. 谢谢你。That one is important. Yeah. Otherwise, I made some onion chanya, 我都忘记了。那个时候 I thought most of the spiritual trip 是你 organizer. Oh, that was before.
那个时候我还做工嘛，因为他。
哦、oh, ，你还没有 retire 呀、啊？
我还没有 retire， 但你们去的时候刚刚好，学校没有假期。
对对对对对，嗯、是。嗯、
那本 book 那个 Who You Are What You Are 是我 transcribe 的，那
Yeah yeah yeah, that was a very good book. 嗯、
啊、
嗯，
那个讲得很清楚。那个、
yeah, 很清楚。Yeah, later on we will we will share that one after the path to truth.、I think we are final chapter already, so we are ending. So after that, I will start that book.、Who You Are What You Are, the green one.、
Yeah, the transcribe.
Sadhu, sadhu. Thank you.、